The Christian husband is the continuing study from 1 Peter 3, verse 7. the Reverend David Angusmer of the First Protestant Reformed Church, he wrote this message about 40 years ago. Every pastor knows how serious is the threat to marriage in the church today. That marriage is in trouble in the world hardly needs to be pointed out. Many live together without marrying or fornicate promiscuously like beasts, holding marriage in contempt. Many others divorce and remarry, and there were almost, is given here a statistic, 1 million divorce in the United States in 1974. And he says, but marriage is under attack also in the church. No denomination or congregation is exempt. The attack on marriage in the church is made through divorce. Two who have become one in marriage split up again into two. Either the wife leaves the husband, or the husband puts away his wife, or they file a full legal divorce. More and more, husbands, all the members of the congregation notice the threat in the church because it was a thing unheard of, even unthinkable before. The pastor knows how much more danger there is behind the scenes, where troubles in the marriage is not suspected by the membership of the church. He made this statement 40 years ago. Has the marriage situation become better in the decades following here in Singapore? Well, the statistics is not that resounding, not that good. The human heart, we notice, continues to be depraved, deceitful above measure, with the diluting of Christianity through the infiltration of modern versions of the Bible, the falling away of the churches to ecumenism and charismatism. Family life is not helped. Sin abounds when God's word is put aside, even in Christian homes. And so he observes, he says, the further causes of marriage breaking down. Every pastor also knows how snuffed and horrible some marriages become through the sins of the husband and the wife, marriages in the church. Although they live together under one roof, at least, he says, at least, some husbands and wives so sin against each other over a long period of time that their marriage is a mockery of the close, delightful bond described in Scripture. Either the husband is a cold, unfeeling brute who rules tyrannically, or the wife is a contentious shrew, always contradicting her husband. Or the marriage is a constant criticizing and bickering, or they pretty much go their own ways. And so he shared these counseling challenges. Every pastor has had the feeling in his difficult labor with the marriage that the only way out is divorce, but that it would, in fact, be an act of mercy to counsel them to divorce. Woe to him, he says, if he follows his feeling instead of the word of God. But this is his feeling. What is said about divorce cannot be ascribed, he says, to the writer's ignorance of how complicated marriage situation can become in the church, or how fearfully sin can stain and tear the marriage bond. Although sin complicates matters, the Word of God gives clear instruction concerning marriage and divorce. What God put together, let not man put asunder. And this is a clear injunction from the Word of God. And then there is this observation or research done concerning the consequence of divorce and family disintegration, concerning emotional development in children, and that is directly related to the presence of a warm, nurturing, sustained, and continuous interaction with both parents. And here it is said, one landmark study, this is from James Dobson, revealed that 90% of the children from divorce homes suffer from an acute sense of shock when the separation occurred, including profound grieving and irrational fears. 50% reported feeling rejected and abandoned, and indeed half the fathers never came to see their children 3 years after divorce. One-third of the boys and girls feared abandonment by the remaining parent with an intensity that researchers describe as overwhelming. Most significantly, 37% of the children were even more unhappy and dissatisfied 5 years after the divorce than they had at 18 months. In other words, time did not heal their wounds. In summary, divorce brings such intense loneliness to children that its pain is difficult to describe or even contemplate. Our text here in 1 Peter 3, 7, Peter describes for us by two participants the husband's duties towards the wife. He is to be dwelling with, and he is to be giving honor to. These are two verbs that are used in the continuous tense to describe a kind of an ongoing kind of activity, an ongoing kind of a spiritual posture of the husband towards the wife, that they are to be dwelling together, they are to be dwelling with. Here is emphasized the kind of a togetherness of life between the husband and the wife. And then there is also the giving or the assigning of honor. Right? And these two verbs describes for us the duties that the husband has towards the wife. And then there is a conclusion to the matter. If the husbands would do this and this, then the result is this, that his devotional life, his life with God, will not be hindered. His prayers with God will not be hindered. So as you think about the text, you see the great implication of the harmonious relationship between the husband and the wife towards the well-being of the husband in his own spiritual life. So verse 7, the first part of our text tells us, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Here, Peter is saying to the husband that you ought to dwell, as in to live together with your wife. Here, it is a description of life together. Remember, in the book of Genesis, in the first marriage, the Lord says that the husband and wives, when they come into the marriage covenant, they would become one. They would be amalgamated together, as it were, like two matters, joined together. When you heat them up, they become an alloy, and when it is cooled down, that piece of matter, it seals itself into one, and you can't possibly pull it apart. And here is described for us that dwelling together of the husband and the wife. Whether you would spend time eating together, spend time reading the Word of God together, to spend time together in an emotional sense, in a physical sense, in a social sense. Here is described that close bond between the husband and the wife. And here, the responsibility is given to the husband, that the husband is to dwell, to be dwelling with the wife in such a manner. Right? You are not only to stay together, but you are to dwell together according to knowledge. The word there means wisdom. The word there means understanding. Here, the word is full of meaning. The word knowledge here. The husband is to understand the wife in all of his understanding. Well, the wife, the husband is to seek to understand the makeup of the wife, in the sense to understand the need of the wife, to understand her emotional makeup. What is it that she would need to understand, to appreciate, to recognize, to be conscious of, to be considerate, to be attentive, to be thoughtful, to be helpful. So here, that knowledge is not just, it speaks of observational understanding, right? That the husband is to know the wife, right? Observe her, know her needs, and to be able to meet them, dwell with her according to knowledge. So here Peter is saying, think, consider how you are living together with your wife. You are to live with your wife in an understanding way. It means that you must begin to know her and to know her well, and that you are to be spending time together in order that you may build each other up. As Christian husband, Christian wives, the husband and the wife comes together to a family unit that God puts together if you go back to the book of Genesis, you would see when God first created the woman, it was because Adam was alone. And he had no one intellectually his equivalent. No one intellectually, emotionally his equal, to share God's wonderful creation together. And so that was the reason why God made Eve out of the rib of Adam, so that Eve will be brought to Adam, and together they would form a kind of a companionship whereby Adam would be able to relate with his wife on the same level, intellectually, emotionally, They are able to appreciate the things around them. Right? When God made the mountains, God made the plants, God made the birds, God made the trees, the animals cannot really appreciate the animals in the animal kingdom more than the man who is made in the image of God. And so when Eve was brought to Adam, you notice that they could together praise God together. One person praising God, you praise God and understand God according to what you know about Him, how He has manifest Himself to you in your life. But with another person, you realize that there is that shared experience, and you notice also that there is a companion whereby you can worship God together. And so they were placed in the Garden of Eden to have dominion over all of God's creation. Of course, then the Lord said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and to populate the earth. And that was what happened. Right? God gave many descendants to Adam and Eve, so that together with all the descendants, they may all praise and give honor and glory to God. Well, this was God's purpose. And so, how does the husband, or how is the husband to relate to the wife so that in the family there will be harmony, there will be a strength? You remember in the first family, the elder brother killed the younger brother. Right? Cain killed Abel. And the family was devastated. What happened? How come? Adam and Eve did not see it coming. Did they not discuss the nature of their children? Did they not see what was to come? How come there was such a tragedy? And the book of Genesis says that men did not call upon God until God gave another son to Adam and Eve, Enoch. And then men began to call upon the name of God again. Right? After Abel was killed, Cain ran out of a home as a wanderer before God gave another child. Tragedy. How does the family come together, and how does the husband and wife, as the most basic unit of the family, be strong together? So here Peter says that, husband, you are to be dwelling with your wife according to knowledge. You are to be dwelling with your wife in such a close relationship together that there is that mutual support, one for another, physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. There is that togetherness within the family. And this knowledge that the husband is to have of the wife, well, Peter says that the husband is to understand the wife, not just, we said, to her habits, not just to see to her needs, but to dwell with her according to the knowledge of God's word. The husband is to love the wife, even as Christ also loved the church, who gave himself for it. You remember When we started this study in chapter 3, verse 1, the first thing that Peter said to the wife is that the wife is to submit to the husband. The wife is to follow the headship of the husband. And here it is described for that harmony in that family. The husband, not only when he loves his wife, he's able also to show that love through a good understanding of how he ought to build that relationship. And we realize that for every husband, for every wife, when you go into the into a marriage, it's first time. It's first time. And you realize that you would have to, along the way, be able to function in that role. So you realize that, there is a need to know how we ought to be interacting one with another. But again, we may say that there is indeed a very great lack in study of the husband and wife concerning their roles before they would go into marriage. Does the husband or the man or the woman take time to understand, to study the Word of God, to understand what is their role? What are they supposed to do? You realize that most of the time, don't know. Not surprising. But here, the teaching of Peter is that we must not go into that relationship not instructed. And that is why there is such a need for husband and wives to seek to know the will of God, to study the Word of God, to look into good Christian literature concerning the thriving of a marriage. How is the husband going to relate to a wife, and how is the wife going to relate to the husband? You need to take time to think about this. You need to take time to study, consider. And so Peter is saying to us that we ought to understand the husband, ought to understand your wife, so that you can know how to you may know how to take care of the needs of the wife. You realize that very often after a marriage, you find that husband and wives, instead of focusing on their priorities towards building a strong relationship one to another, there is a tendency that career would come, and the husband or the wife would be spending a lot of time involved in building a career, and oftentimes would be at the neglect of the relationship between the husband or the wife. And this you see so very often, right? In ancient Israel, if a man is going to be married to a wife, and he is to stay home with the wife. If there is a battle, he is not to be enlisted to go for battle, but he is to stay home to spend time with the wife. That was God's law, And if we would have studied and we would think, then you realize that, walking down the aisle and saying the vow for the marriage is just the beginning of that relationship. And it is not that after that, each one will pursue their separate agendas for life. It's not like that. So Peter is saying to us here how important it is that the husband must have a deep understanding and appreciation of his wife. And so here is a description of knowing in a very personal way, not just, you know, her physical needs, but her desires, not just to know what she would like to eat, what is her favorite food, but what are her concerns? What are the worries of the wife? What is in the heart? And how can you be helping her in those areas of her needs, those areas that is beyond, you know, just the physical needs, but the emotional needs? And so here, Peter is saying to us that the husband is to be dwelling together with the wife according to knowledge. Why did Peter use that word knowledge? So you see, God's word requires us to take time to think, you know. God's word requires us to take time to consider and understand, right? One look at it, you may not fully be able to understand what it means, just knowledge. So you need to take time to think about it, right? To consider the various aspects of what Peter is saying to us here, that the husband is to do in dwelling with the wife. And so here we are saying that in doing so, that relationship between the husband and the wife can be strengthened. Right? A weak relationship between the husband and the wife will affect, right, the children, will affect, as a family unit in the larger context of the church, consisting of many units of families. You realize here that there is a careful consideration that the Lord is bringing us for the husband to do, that you are to dwell together with your wife as according to knowledge, right, the second part of it, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Here, Peter is saying you are not just to have a good understanding of the needs of your wife and to be able to care for it and to be considerate towards her, but you are also to give honor to your wife. Here, the reason that he gave is as unto a weaker vessel. Now, what does it mean here when Peter writes, describing the wife as a weaker vessel? Well, here it does not mean, right, that the wife is emotionally, intellectually inferior to the husband. No. But here we are speaking about physical strength, right? The build of the man compared with the woman. And so here Peter is saying that you are to give honor, right, to the wife. The word honor there, right, it describes a deep respect that comes from the heart. It's not just lip service. Okay. It's a consideration based on understanding. And here, the husband, right, is described here as one who honors the wife in the overview of the wife's submission to the husband's authority. You remember when we started with we begin with a phrase that the wife is to submit to the husband. So how does it work here? It's as if the wife is in that sense under authority. Well, in that makeup of God's family economy, he tells us that in order to make it work, the husband is to give honor, due honor, all honor to the wife. So in other words here, Peter is saying that the husband ought to be shouldering a greater responsibility, being the man, the stronger person. Well, he's to be able to protect the wife, he's to be able to provide for the needs of the wife. Here, well, we say this, that there is that important structure of the family being held together from what we say outside external dangers. So in those times, you see that it's vulnerable in a society where violence occurs. You find that, yeah, there is a need for the male to be on guard, to take care of the family, the wife, in times of distresses. Here we speak of a physical distresses, but at the same time, here we are also speaking of the husband's responsibility towards honoring the wife, as here the word there is described as joint heirs together of the grace of life. In other words, God has given, put two of you together as husband and wife. And God has a function, has a God-given purpose for you as husband and wife to be a witness for Him together. And so here, the functioning of that relationship is such that the wife is to, in a sense, submit to the authority of the husband. And at the same time, you would see how the husband, in fulfilling the role of caring for the wife, in loving the wife, also give due honor to her. And so, you know, these are very practical aspects of daily living that Peter is speaking about. And there are many instances that you can give in which husband and wife relationships can be undermined in the sight of external parties outside the family. And so here Peter is saying that the husband in particular must guard the honor of your wife. Your husband must, in that sense, take care, right? And here is described by Peter that in doing so, right, part 3 of our text tells us that the husband's spiritual life may not be hindered. In other words, there is a correlation between the relationship of the wife, the husband's relationship with the wife, and his own spiritual life, his way with God. If in that relationship between the husband and wife, there is not that harmony, then here it is said that his prayers would not be heard by God. His prayers would not be answered by God. So here there is a description of an intimate relationship in the whole cycle of a family and a Christian family life. Right? That the husband and wife is so much together as one. Right? That their togetherness and their one-spiritedness in the things of life would go a long way towards the progress of the family to fulfill the purposes of God. And so here we said that in the family there is a need that between husband and wife, there is a spiritual understanding in the sense that to be able to pray together, to be able to have that same understanding towards life. Here is spoken of how important it is that there is that harmony in that relationship between the husband and the wife. And so here Peter is saying to us that there is a need to work it out well. There is a need to take time to consider. There is a need to take time to learn, take time to grow, to take time to mature. And we are to think about these things. Whether you are going into the relationship, whether you are already in the relationship, Peter is saying to us that these are the principles by which we are able to have a successful husband and wife relationship. So Peter tells us, right, for the wife, for the husband, that you are to understand your wife. You have to dwell with her according to knowledge, and that you are to honor your wife. You are to honor her as unto a weaker vessel, as joint, as co-heirs in the plan of God, that you are together advancing God's purpose on earth. And God brought you together not for no reason. And therefore, you would see how important it is that building of that spiritual relationship, that understanding between the husband and the wife goes a long way towards impacting other relationships around us. And the Lord is saying to us that we are to take time to take care of this relationship. May the Lord be gracious to grant us His grace and mercy so that we may indeed know and be instructed. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Your word. Thank Thee for showing us and giving us Your truth concerning the role of the husband, how he needs to dwell with the wife according to knowledge, and how he is to honor the wife as unto a weaker vessel, as joint heirs of the grace of life. Father, we thank Thee that You have a purpose and plan for the lives of Your children, and especially for the lives of husbands and wives. Father, we see how important it is that this relationship between a husband and wife ought to be built strong. And Lord, I pray that there will be a heightened understanding of a need to take time, to take care, to learn, to know, to mature in the understanding, the building of this husband-wife relationship. And we ask that You be gracious to bless the husband and wives in our midst, that Your word may instruct them, and that You would grant to us the grace to follow for Your own honor and glory, that indeed our homes may be established, that the church may be established for Your own honor and glory. This I pray with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.